It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
That team sure did suck last night. They just plain sucked. I've seen teams suck before, but they were the suckiest bunch of sucks that ever sucked.
Steve Rosenblum.
There was a keg stand I lost to an 81-year-old lady. She got off the ninth floor, but it was really close.
Mark Grody.
I've been waiting to get a hold of this guy for years. Channel 2 News is out there interviewing people. Yeah, I've been talking to my wife about getting Steve. He once connected my dots and boarded my plate. I'm going to dunk his ass.
They suck, so you don't have to.
Can't you morons do anything right?
Founding members of the WB Club.
Smoke weed every day.
The three words that describe this show, and I quote.
Stink, stank, stunk.
It's Saturday Suckage on the Score.
We should be 670 WSUK.
Apologize. What is your name? I don't know who you are, the host.
I am the insanely handsome Steve Rosenblum, host of Saturday Suckage. Let's find out who else is here. Don Cooper.
It sucks and it freebases.
I did the wrong thing, Grobber.
If I think something sucks, I'll tell you it sucks.
Grobber.
Look, we already did that.
It sucks and it freebases.
Oh, my God. Jake Arrieta.
This sucks. Really, it does.
Yes, it does. When I can't get the names in order and I have them written down in front of me. Eloy Jimenez.
Hey. You guys not gonna make anyway. You guys are suck. And when I got traded the next day, oh, welcome to the suck team.
Suckiest team in the major leagues. Toby!
Oh my God, this sucks!
Random Bears fan.
And the Flyers, we suck!
Trevor!
Finally made a list of somebody who thinks he sucks besides I do.
Liam Hendricks!
I wouldn't say seeking perfection, it's just mainly trying not to suck.
Julie Swyka.
Man, that's suck.
Wilson Contreras.
Losing suck. I'll tell you that, and that's all I can say.
George Wendt.
We had fun, but there you go. I suck.
Garth Algar.
Turn it off, man! Turn it off! It's sucking my will to live!
The legend, Steve Dahl.
Disco sucks! Disco sucks!
Candace Parker.
I mean, it sucks.
Roquan Smith.
Yeah, man. Sucks.
Zach LaVine.
It sucked to have it happen game one.
DeMar DeRozan.
You know, it just sucks.
Justin Fields coach Mike Tomlin.
It all sucks. There's not degrees of suck. It all sucks.
Josh Allen.
Sucks. Losing sucks. Sucks.
Pete Fairbanks.
No, I thought it generally sucked. I didn't think it was a specific suck. I thought it was like an all-encompassing type of suck.
AJ Brzezinski.
They should have just come out and said, hey, we're going to suck this year. And everyone would have been like, okay.
Pedro Grifol.
We're 20 games in. Our record sucks.
Yeah. Maybe more games than that. And your record sucks worse than anyone else. Congratulations, Pedro. Michael Kopech.
It sucks, man. There's no easy way to put it.
Mark Burley.
So it did suck.
Bob Costas.
I also don't understand, or maybe I should just applaud you, for having the self-confidence to label your own show Saturday Suckage.
Robbie Triano.
Chicago, I'm back and I suck. Steve, I'm so proud of you.
I did. We roll call sucked on Saturday Suckage, a hallmark of this show. 618. I was just cleaning the blank. I was just cleaning the, and I remembered it was time for Saturday Suckage. Good. You forgot the and whatever you were cleaning, just like I forgot the order of the names. 331, all-time Saturday Suckage opening, Ryan of Batavia. They texted that number. They know it by heart. It's on their phone. It's automatic speed dial because that's what Saturday Suckage does to you. Welcome to Saturday Suckage. We suck so you don't have to. We're broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios. Brought to you by your local Hyundai dealer. Our phone number at the Score, 312-644-6767. That'll get you to our listener line powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. That number, 312-644-6767, also gets you to the Score's text line the way other fellow suckageers have already texted in. All right. The early news from Bears camp, second day of padded practice, Nate Davis, he's not so much. Brad Biggs tweeted out, looks like right guard Nate Davis is sitting out one-on-one pass rush drills after a trainer looked at him during individual drills. Ryan Bates shifted to right guard and Coleman Shelton moved to center with the ones. So there we are. Nate Davis in midseason injured form after one padded practice. So we had that one day of padded practice. Bears' first padded practice. Let's get them all thudded up. And here's the conclusion. Caleb Williams can protect his offensive teammates better than they can protect him. Period. That's it. That's what you saw. So there was, not a ruckus, not a fight. There was pushing and shoving. But it was a confrontation between a guy on Caleb Williams' side of the ball and a guy on the other side of the ball. Gerald Everett, the new tight end, got into it with DeMarcus Walker and Montez Sweat. And nothing happened because Caleb Williams jumped in, the rookie. First padded practice in the NFL, and Caleb Williams is jumping in, shoving Walker after he grabbed him and said, no, that's it. Wait for my guy, that's it. We're done. We're done here. DeMarcus Walker said later, it's good, man. Obviously, this doesn't want to see his OGs going at it. But, I mean, it gets raspy out there. It gets rowdy. I'm very proud of Caleb for how he's been handling himself, holding himself. And he's been continually just carving his craft just every single day. That's from The Athletic. So this is just for Hard Knocks, right? Someone said, set up a fight for Hard Knocks. You don't have to slug each other because football players fighting is stupid. You're very well protected and you're going to break a hand. You can't be that stupid.
Like when everyone punches in a football fight, it's like, why? Right. What's the point? It's
right. Nothing. Unless you can get the Adam's apple. If you can get the chin, that's good. If you can, that's where boxers are taught to hit people.
Or you should use your fingers and get them in the eyes.
Yeah, go all three stooges
yes,
on
exactly.
them.
Exactly. Why I oughta.
We had this discussion. I hate to get hijacked by the three stooges, but I just did. What's the three stooges? That was the defining line in my generation between men and women. What's the defining line in your generation, Robbie Triano, between men and what's your three stooges?
Smoke what, weed every day.
No, we know that, but right, that's it. That men think that's hysterical and women don't find it funny.
I don't know. I have to workshop that. I have no idea.
But that's a defining line. Somebody told me it was skibbity toilet.
I've never heard that.
Men think it's really funny. And
skibbity toilet?
I think it's skibbity toilet. Skibbity something. No? All right.
Or like Baba Booey, Baba Booey.
That seems like a generation ago. Like you're not part of that. I wondered what it was for.
Probably Hawk Tua.
Oh.
I'm not even going to say what that means.
And that's what men think it's funny and women just disgusted by the whole thing?
Yeah, correct.
Okay. Moving right along. I like the idea that it's Hard Knocks. I like the idea that it was all set up. I never met a conspiracy theory I didn't want to embrace. Ryan Bates, who, as we heard, is playing guard right now because Nate Davis is not, perhaps injured. And that's his quarterback, he was quoted as saying. Got this out of The Athletic. I love that. I love the mentality. He's got to be smarter, though, because we can't have that. God forbid anything happens. But I love when he stepped in there and got in the middle of it. That's who he is. He's a chippy guy. He wants to get in there. He wants to compete. Yeah. So, he protects his offensive line better than they protect him. And in their earnestness or eagerness to protect him, there were a whole bunch of false starts. The offensive line was given to false starts yesterday. First day in pads. So it kind of underscored the whole idea. Caleb's cadence is important. Offensive linemen, you got to listen to this. Everybody. So there was, right before a snap, defensive tackle Andrew Billings yelled, "Move!" I always want to say Barbara Billingsley when I talk about Andrew Billings. Do you know who Barbara Billingsley is?
Not at all.
Oh, my God. Okay, this is part of the separation of generations. She was the mother of, she was Beavs, the Beaver's mother. She was married to Ward. She was the Beaver's mother. She had little time for Eddie Haskell. And Barbara Billingsley had a star turn in the movie Airplane because she spoke jive. Excuse me, stewardess, I speak jive. Are you familiar with that, Robbie?
That's a great movie. Now I know. I've done the research.
That's the Beaver Cleaver's mom.
She is someone I know.
But we're talking about Andrew Billingsley. Oh, my God. See, I said it. It's Andrew Billings. Stop.
Well, we sure hope that it's not this person that you're talking about, then Andrew Billings.
I don't think she's alive anymore.
Yeah, she is long gone.
So he yells, "Move!" And the D-line shifted and somebody on the offense jumped. And the Athletic row, we heard from Tevin Jenkins in the spring about Billings' ability to mess up the offense with his move call, and now we got to hear it. Shelton said, probably the best in the league. That's what Bill is. I've played some good amount, and I've never heard anything like that before. He's very emphatic about it. For us, we've just got a key into Caleb's voice. They don't sound the same. It's just that one startles you more than the other. Don't be scared. Really. Don't be as scared, Coleman Shelton, or none of the rest of you, Tevin Jenkins. Don't be as scared. Listen to your quarterback, the guy who protects you better than you protect him. You see Williams' highlight throw? Whatever you saw yesterday, Robbie, the highlight was rolling to his left and suddenly throwing to his right and amidst pressure, and he hit Tyler Scott. Open right side. Right side of the end zone, TD, right? Touchdown.
It was beautiful.
Yes. And it came amidst pressure. It came amidst a defensive line bearing down on him because the Bears' offensive line could not block him. When that drill started, they're doing the two-minute drills as they do at the end of all the practices, and they should. End of half, end of game, all kind of stuff. Put them in a different. So they were at the 35, I think. Anyways. When that drill started, a defensive lineman said, "Y'all can feel free to block us anytime you want." Taunting. Now, we know Keenan Allen was talking about how the Bears defense loves to chirp. And they love to taunt. And he said they taunt like a top five defense, Keenan Allen said, when first time he heard it in OTAs. This was the Bears' starting line, alleged starting line, according to somebody's depth chart. Braxton Jones, Tevin Jenkins, Ryan Bates or Coleman Shelton at center, Nate Davis at right guard, and Darnell Wright at right tackle. There's your starting. And there was a defensive, that was the first day in pads, and here's a defensive line doing what it wants, having its way, taunting the Bears' offense. "Y'all can feel free to block us." So, first question you'd ask is, what price Caleb? Get to that in a minute. But does this really help the Bears' defensive line going against the weakest unit on the Bears, right? Wouldn't that be the weakest unit? We don't know what the kickoff return team is. That's, you know, they're not in the discussion. The punter, the rookie punter, has been showing off all kinds of stuff. He's like Harry Potter with a leg. And the defensive backfield, the secondary is terrific. The defensive line seems to be good. See, now that's the question. That's the problem with a crappy offensive line or a questionable offensive line. Let's call it suspect. Let's be charitable. Does Ryan Poles know how to figure out whether his team really does need that extra pass rush? Does he get deluded going against this offensive line that he knows needs help? Now, where this translates into real life is interim coach Matt Eberflus and Poles have had discussions about whether to play Caleb Williams a lot, a little. First of all, whether he's going to play Thursday. We're 5 days away from that. The Bears are going through their second padded practice now. We're 5 days away from the first game. The Bears have a bonus of an extra game. Do they play Caleb Williams, who's never taken a snap in the NFL?
Would you?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Anyone who's never taken a snap in the NFL needs snaps in whatever NFL contest, in any game played in anger. And guess what? That offensive line needs snaps too. You get all thudded up. Now we heard, the range, the window would be 45 to 65 plays for Williams and the number one offense in the first, in the preseason combined. They have 4 games to do it, or maybe they just reduce it to 3. Depends how they want to play it. So the health and ability of the offensive line will determine that. See, once the regular season starts, if you're erring on the side of being chicken or you want to protect the health of the quarterback, and I get that, you get to the regular season. Look, you can't play real football unless you've played the fake games and you've gotten whipped by an opponent and you've gotten all thudded up. The fear is they take away the learning opportunities from Williams. And then, again, Eberflus's team soils the bed the first month of the season. And then where are you? I mean, we saw that before. Oh, we're not going to play real football. Last two coaches have thought, oh, we're not going to play real football. No, we're just going to say we're going to use the first month as our exhibition football. But it's not. You're in last place in your division. And you have a rookie quarterback. And you have a lot of new parts, too. You've surrounded him with all kinds of skill players, like no number one draft pick as a quarterback has ever walked into. And whether you can protect him is a question. You have tight ends. You have 2 tight end sets. You have a running game. He's shown the ability to take the flare, to take the check down. He has to take snaps. He has to play Thursday. Get him all the experience he can get. The sooner he makes mistakes, the sooner he can get better. There's no time this year for another Eberflus, team soiling the bed in September. You can't take the whole month off. You can't use it. This is where you're learning. This is where you're doing. You're hitting. You can't use that in September. The only advantage of not playing Williams enough in the preseason, not because you don't know about the offensive line, and then you play him in the regular season when there's real anger going on and your offensive line is even less prepared. In a year where you think you're a playoff team, everybody thinks you're a playoff team, everybody thinks you were a quarterback away, and now you got that quarterback, and you should be competing for the division because that's always the goal, Ryan Poles said. Win the Super Bowl, take the division, take the North, don't give it back. Well, here you go. The only advantage I can see to giving away September is that that gets Matt Eberflus fired, and that's my upside. That's where I will throw a party. I'll clap for that. I can see the upside of that. He's not going to play his guys. Because if he thinks that's the right thing to do, it's inevitably wrong. He makes a lot of bad decisions, this guy. So that inevitably would be the bad decision. And bad decisions should get you fired. It did not get him fired last year, which is a bad decision by Ryan Poles. But maybe he'll make enough bad decisions this year to get himself fired and the right kind of coach will get in here. Welcome to Saturday Suckage. I'm talking about the Bears coach. That's appropriate, huh? We're going to take a break. When we come back, there's a guy who's done everything he can to not get traded from the White Sox. Oh, my. Oh, WTF, more appropriately. Why? We'll ask Paul Sullivan of the Tribune. Why? This is Saturday Suckage. I'm Steve Rosenblum. Thanks for listening. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
You should go. If you're a Chicago baseball player, you should go. It's not should I stay or should I go. You should go. But we have a recalcitrant type. We have something that makes you go WTF. There's a guy on the White Sox who's making it impossible to leave the White Sox. I would never want a guy on the White Sox who would want to stay on the White Sox. Welcome back to Saturday Suckage. If that doesn't sound like Saturday Suckage, yeah, hey, I want to stay on the White Sox. I'm going to make it impossible. Here's my poison pill. Let's go to the guest hotline presented by Circus Sports Illinois and welcome back to the show. One of my favorite cynics, his name is Paul Sullivan. He writes the Awakened News column for the Tribune. Sully, Garrett Crochet wants to doing everything he can not to be traded from the White Sox. Why would you want him on the White Sox? What's going on?
Well, he's their only player that people want to see right now, so that would be number one reason. I don't know if he wants to stay in the White Sox. He does say that, but you got to think that in the back of his head, he's just praying for, you know, the Dodgers or the Yankees or whoever would be interested in trading for him because you know, the thing about him asking for an extension, he's not going to get that from the White Sox. So, you know.
Yeah, how'd you get that out without completely laughing?
So you would think that he would prefer a different place, but who knows? Maybe he's got Stockholm Syndrome or something and wants to see this through.
So yesterday, Crochet had the first chance to answer for his the report that came out of the New York Post. John Heyman, who's a regular with Mully and Haw on Monday through Friday on the morning show here on The Score, and wrote that Garrett Crochet's agents have told everybody, if you trade for him and you want him to pitch in October, we're going to hold you ransom. We're not pitching in October. We're going to hold you ransom. Winning doesn't matter to us. Money does. Unless we get an extension, our guy's sitting down. Well, it sounds like a loser mentality to me. I understand self-protection, and that's great. And when a chance to answer and explain himself, Crochet yesterday couldn't. He offered no comment when asked directly, which, of course, is a comment. So did anybody else say anything? I mean, you interpreted it as this is what he wants, and you're left scratching your head about, is it just self-protection? Would this guy fit in a clubhouse when you say he's hoping the Dodgers do what?
Well,
Well, I think he hopes the Dodgers get him and then give him some money. And, you know, he pitches in the playoffs and happily ever after. On one hand, you have to, you know, you have to admire him for doing that. I mean, it's, he doesn't really have any leverage. He doesn't have a no trade. He's not a 5-10 guy. So really, do whatever they want. But I think he's trying to say to them that, you know, if you do trade for me, if you're going to give up all these prospects, you know, I want to think in more than just short term. I want to, you know, get compensated because, you know, this guy's going to make a lot of money in his career. And if they overpitch him, and I like the idea that I can't think it was Dallas Braden who brought up Aroldis Chapman in 2016 with the Cubs. You know, I mean, you could throw the guy's arm out and then he loses his big money deal in a couple of years. So I understand what he's thinking. I don't know if I would have like let it out right now. I could see them saying that, you know, quietly, but you know, leaking it to the media is now it's a huge deal.
So in thinking this out, it would be, if this is the way you feel, then you do want it. You don't want any surprises. You make a deal for me, you know that this is part of the deal. And I don't know how that plays in any clubhouse in his own or the Dodgers, for argument's sake, the acquiring team. So if you're in the White Sox, you go, yeah, we love our guy. Yeah, a guy without leverage, making demands, seeing what he can get from this dog breath franchise. And we're going to get out of here. He's going to get out of here on his terms, that kind of like breaking out of prison. And yet the Dodgers players there might think, wow, what a great idea. I love that. I want my agent to do that. But then he comes into the locker room and or in that clubhouse and wait, either gets what he wants or he's not going to help us win a World Series. And that clubhouse especially needs to win a World Series. How do you think that plays in various clubhouses?
Well, I'm sure it's different with the individual players. The Dodgers definitely, you know, you would think they would want a guy like him on the mound for them because he gives them a much better chance of winning the World Series, which, you know, they should win anyways, considering all the money and talent they have. But I don't know. I think if they think on one basic player view that, you know, we want each other to, you know, bring up the salary level. And if he wants to do that, then that it's good for all players in the future. I mean, it has been done before. I mean, Tyler Glasnow, Dodgers pitcher this year, kind of dictated that to the Dodgers before he was traded there, that, you know, he wanted a long-term extension and he got it, but he was going to be a free agent. And this is different because, you know, Crochet's got two more years after this. And also because his, you know, injury history, not that it's long, but it was very serious injury and he hasn't had a lot of major league innings. So there's just a lot of different nuances with this situation that I think is different and every player is going to look at it differently.
So Chris Getz has never faced a trade deadline and is now he's facing this with his most valuable asset in his first trade deadline. What does this do? How does he handle it?
Well, we'll find out. I mean, I don't know. It's really interesting because, you know, he could have said all along, hey, you know, this guy's part of our future and, you know, he's our one untouchable, but he never said that. So, you know, we've been talking about Crochet for 2 months now, how he's going to be traded and, you know, the timeline for them winning is not going to be in 2 years and then he would leave as a free agent. So maybe now's the time to deal him. You get the most out of him. In terms of prospects. So, you know, it is a tough situation for him. And also, you can't forget the Luis Robert thing. You know, Seattle already got Rosarena, so I can't imagine them going for Robert. And Philly got Austin Hayes, and they were also interested in Robert. So I don't know if the market on that is drying up a bit. But, I mean, those were your two big guys. It's, you know, no one really cares what they get for Tommy Pham or Paul DeJong. I mean, nothing against them. They've had.
But you're right.
Well, Tommy's had a good year, but no one really cares about those guys. They want to know about what they're getting for
Louise and Crochet.
And it might be nothing. So he either thinks too highly of himself. He doesn't know how to negotiate. He's not going to make any move. I if both Robert and Crochet are on the Sox roster a week from today, how badly has Chris Getz messed up?
Well, you got to give Crochet's agents insist on that if that does happen, because you know some teams might be thinking twice now about that. But, yeah, if he has both of them, that would say that the 2 months of stories from every media outlet in town was for nothing.
Well, it's not for nothing because we filled space with that.
Yes, we did. We did have filled content. And,
we are.
You know, you could think of it this way, that the time we spent talking about Crochet and Luis was time not spent talking about the worst team in baseball history.
Yes.
Which is what it looks like.
Which is actually
like every day.
We are the village people. That's what gets done. So, and I think that's great. The worst team, that's the goal now. And the magic number, I think, is what, 15? They can't win more than 15 games. And I think that
I thought it was 16, maybe. I don't know.
I don't want to just nip the Mets 250 winning percentage. They're about a win past that now. They need another 15 game losing streak, and I know they're perfectly capable of that. They certainly have the manager capable of overseeing a 15 game losing streak on top of one 15 game losing streak. I think that would be tremendous. My guess is Paul.
Did you see last night's post game show?
Where with what?
With Ozzy and Chuck, they said we're going to go to clips from the post game with Pedro Grifol, and he says, "Yeah, no thanks."
Yeah, no. Well, he's got nothing to say. He doesn't know how to talk like a manager. He doesn't know how to think. There's nothing. They're not better defensively. They're not smarter on the base paths. They're not smarter at the plate. They're not ready to play every night at 7:10. Nothing that they don't play fast. They don't play technically sound. He's a joke. No matter what he's done in 2 years, he's a joke. They've not gotten better. They've gotten worse. He's not shown any improvement in progress. He's not shown any impact on this. But thank God he's there. Thank God they're loyal to that. And what Chris Getz said earlier in the week, Sully, was like, well, everything's on the table, essentially. Everybody's being judged. Pedro Grifol was not Chris Getz's hire, even though he came from the organization of choice. He was not his hire. This has to be the easiest firing in the world whenever he wants to make it.
Well, he was not his hire, but as you recall, on his first press conference as GM, one of the first things he said was that Pedro would be back this year, which we kind of scratched our heads at that. And then this year we, you know, written all along, oh, well, he's on his last legs here. They got to get rid of him at some point. Worst record in history, and he's still there. So I think they've just basically said that it's none of this is his fault. I can't imagine any other manager that would survive the kind of record that he has. It's just amazing.
FOJ, friend of Jerry's. And finally, Chris Getz is letting him play out and letting him be this bad, and then he go to the chairman and say, see, all this sucks. We have to change this.
Man.
They really hate us. So let's talk about another team that we are learning to hate, which would be the Cubs, because they're doing nothing. You wrote this week, Hoyer's tenure as president of baseball operations now in year four has yet to produce tangible results in what supposedly is a results-driven business. Now, there are several other paragraphs following that. That doesn't.
I hope so.
Well, yes, right. Although that
would be a very short column.
72-point type, just write it the way it is. And you mentioned the Cubs are touchy about the word rebuild because the Cubs are touchy about a certain amount of honesty. So where are we? Where should they be? And should Jed Hoyer be allowed to preside over this trade deadline, given where he has gotten this team?
Well, it's a little late now.
No, it's not. No, I mean, look.
You're going to fire him 2 days before the trade deadline.
No, but I tell you, remember what turned out to be Jim Hendry's last?
Yeah.
He was charged with, he wasn't fired until he signed every draft pick. His job,
yeah.
Ricketts said, sign every draft pick, and then we're going to have to part. And Jim Hendry did that because that was his job. Maybe Ricketts says, don't trade anybody. Don't bring anybody in. Don't get rid of anybody. The next guy's going to do that. I'm saying it could happen. There's my scenario.
Yeah. So you want him just to do nothing and then let the next guy handle it?
I don't know what he could do anyways. I don't know.
If you look at some of those draft picks that Hendry signed when he already knew he was fired, it was not a really good crop.
Well, I'm just saying, and you make the point that if nothing happens, nobody leaves, we're not, whatever, it's time to Alexander Canario, let's see. Matt Shaw, let's see. Owen Casey, let's see. Moises Ballesteros, let's see. And can Pecro Armstrong ever hit major league pitching? Let's see.
Yeah.
All right.
No, I'm all for bringing those guys up and, you know, getting rid of some of these guys that are like, you know, have been there long enough that we've seen the Wisdoms and, you know, Master Boney, those guys. But I don't know. I mean, I think Jed is, you know, that Jed, they're not going to get rid of him.
No.
So, I mean, he just hired a manager for 5 years at a record contract. So. I would be shocked. I do agree that, yeah, there should be some more accountability on his part. This was the year they were supposed to go to the playoffs. It doesn't look like they are. You know, he made the major move of canning David Ross after they said what a great job he did all last year, and then all of a sudden they fire him. So, you know, that put more pressure on to win this year, and that hasn't happened. Council, I don't know if you can blame him for this. I mean, they just can't hit. The bullpen's awful, but... You know, he was supposed to be the guy that worked miracles, and that hasn't happened. So, yeah, there's a lot of blame to go around, and Jed certainly deserves a lot of it.
Did he know Seiya Suzuki couldn't play defense when they signed him to that money?
I don't know. I mean, it's shocking to me how he's really regressed the last few years.
Awful.
Because when he came up, I don't remember that reputation, and he has a good arm. I don't know if he needs glasses or what, but he definitely.
Or Jed does.
Remember that play in Atlanta last year when he, you know, just lost that fly ball and he said it was in the lights, but then it happened again this year and you're like, okay, well, you know, maybe something's different than just the lights here. Maybe he can't feel that. The Japanese reporters, some of them that I know very well, told me that. Last year that he was, you know, not going to stick around as more than a DH in a few years. But I didn't think it would be this quickly.
Okay, great. Well, give us more to discuss next time we get together. One of my favorite cynics. He's Paul Sullivan. Thanks, Sully.
Thanks, Rosie.
Paul Sullivan in the wake of the news, sports column for the Tribune. Take a break. When we come back, they're doing things at Halas Hall. You know what? We are doing things at Halas Hall. This broadcast update. Mully and Haw will be live from Halas Hall from 5:30 to 10 a.m. this Tuesday as the Bears take the field for practice that morning. Mully and Haw will also be hitting the road and broadcasting live from the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton this Thursday and Friday from 5:30 to 10 a.m. with exclusive interviews, special guests reacting to the Hall of Fame game. It is all presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. So, we'll take a break when we come back. I want to discuss the Culture Club. Do you really want to hurt me? Well, I want to try to understand you. So, that's what I'm going to do next. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Our culture is awesome.
The culture here has been great.
Our culture is awesome. We gave a lot, you know, during the spring, you know, so, and then in the summer, same thing. You know, so formation, motion, understanding a concept, you know, run kills, you know, killing it to run, killing it to pass, alerts, all those things were a couple levels up.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score. In Odyssey Station.
There he is. He's back to interim coach Matt Eberflus. He's rolling all his 80s bands in there. He got Culture Club from last year, and now we're level 42. Everything's leveling up. He's got to level up. We got to level up. You see those guys leveling up, level 42. So last week, Robbie, we were trying to figure out, Mark Grody's on a phone. Grody will be here sometime in the 1 o'clock hour, we think, whenever things get done up at Halas Hall. What's the next 80s band he's going to reference without knowing it because he's not nearly that hip? Which is it? We got Culture Club. Level 42. So what's next? All right, you work on that. Speaking of Alice Hall and Mark Grody, this tweet came during 7-on-7. Caleb Williams threw back-to-back picks. Adrian Colbert or Colbert. Are we allowed to pronounce it like the talk show host, Colbert? Do we know what it is?
I couldn't tell you.
And Reddy Stewart. Not Rod Stewart. Reddy, R-E-D-D-Y.
Maybe
Stewart,
that's the 80s person.
S-E-W-A-R-D. Colbert picked off Tyson Bagent yesterday. Wow. So either he's really good or Bears quarterbacks suck.
Yeah, he's a bust from what I hear.
And then... oh, boy, here it comes. Here's part of that great culture. Rough start for the Bears offense in 11-11. This is from a Grody tweet. You can read it at Grody Sports. He wants you to go to at Grody Sports. Rough start for the Bears offense in 11-11 as they had back-to-back false starts. Then T.J. Edwards came on a blitz. Caleb Williams got rid of it to Gerald Everett for a first down, followed by a nice sideline pass to Roma Dunze. So, you know what? Caleb Williams rallies in these things. He rallies and practices. Like yesterday in the first padded practice, it was, wow, he's really looking lousy. The Bears offense is a bunch of false starts. They don't even know his own cadence. They don't know his quarterback's voice. And then he throws a TD pass to Tyler Scott. But the whole culture thing, the more, and he spent so much time, interim coach Matt Eberflus, talking about team's culture, what a great culture it is, how great the culture is. Culture, culture, culture. Do you know how insecure he must be about the Bears culture if he talks about the Bears culture as much as he talks about the Bears culture and what a great culture they have? This is as embarrassing and uncomfortable as when Ted Phillips and George McCaskey, and they all talked about collaboration. Ryan Pace, Matt Nagy, they're going to collaborate. Yeah, collaboration. That's collaboration. That's the penicillin for what ails us. So... it seems pretty obvious to me, and this is going back some weeks, that culture is going to be on Hard Knocks a ton.
Our culture is awesome.
Watch that while you watch Hard Knocks. See what the gimmies are, and we're going to help you with the gimmies. I mean, I don't know that Matt Eberflus's culture will be on as much as Kevin Warren and his sanctimonious bluster, but culture will be there a lot. Saying the word culture, I... proposed before, ought to be the free spot on the Bernstein and Holmes Hard Knocks bingo card. There's still, I heard the other day, Lawrence was demanding Dan do his homework. Bernstein has to do his homework. Get the thing done. A couple of weeks ago, when this came up, when culture is like the free spot, and we're going, and I'd mentioned it on the air, and we were going back and forth on the idea of what would be on the Hard Knocks bingo card. So a texter to Saturday Suckage, 312-644-6767, an 802 texter to that number, Rosie, Harry Potter with a leg? Yeah. Tori's magic. Get it? See? I don't do two shows. That's it. So a texter to Saturday Suckage said, HBO will definitely show some young Bears players, didn't matter offense, defense, going out for Chicago-style deep dish pizza, right?
That's a guarantee.
So I sent it along to Bernstein for his consideration on the Hard Knocks bingo card that he has been charged with, he's demanded with at Lawrence's, the end of Lawrence's business finger. And he texted back, God, I hope not. I suggested that Chicago-style pizza would be fighting with Kevin Warren getting up at 4:30 and being sanctimonious, blusterful then. And that would be fighting for culture as the free spot. And Bernstein said, if young guys are going to be out at 2 a.m., and I'm in wholehearted agreement with this, if they're going to be out at 2 a.m., they should be at Wiener's Circle. They should be at 2 a.m. at Wiener's Circle, bunch of young Bears players out then, and Poochie gives them what for. Now, that would be great on Hard Knocks. Poochie on Hard Knocks from Wiener's Circle, that's a spinoff waiting to happen. Bleeper, 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 bleeper. I love that whole idea. I don't know what will be on Bernstein Holmes bingo card, but Dan better get it done because Lawrence didn't sound like he was going to tolerate any late assignments on this one.
Well, if they don't do it, we're going to scoop in and take
them. No, we're not. We're not. Oh, it's we're theirs. Not. We're just going to hang Burnsy out to dry. That's what. And everybody will love it. Okay. That'll be it.
We have some submissions for the 80s band from the Texers. Oh. The Texers are going great. We have the 847. We have Twisted Sister. We have Wham. We have Men at Work. And we have Tears for Fears.
Wham is a play. Wham is a block in football.
Oh, so then it's Wham.
Yeah, yeah. Wham. But we need interim coach Matt Eberflus to say it. Twisted Sister. Okay, I don't know. And then what were the other ones?
We had Men at Work. So you know the safety dance?
Sure. Safety dance. Yeah.
Kind of like Wham, though.
Wham. It's a block. All right. Yeah. Wake me up before you go-go, interim coach Matt Eberflus. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more Bears football. Habarkish is next. Saturday Suck. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Goes to bang, bang.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The culture here has been great.
Our culture is awesome.
We gave them a lot, during the spring, so, and then in the summer, same thing. So formation, motion, understanding a concept, run kills, killing it to run, killing it to pass, alerts, all those things were a couple levels up.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
There he is. He's back to interim coach Matt Eberflus. He's rolling all his 80s bands in there. He got Culture Club from last year, and now we're level 42. Everything's leveling up. He's got to level up. We got to level up. You see those guys leveling up, level 42. So last week, Robbie, we were trying to figure out, Mark Grody's on a phone. Grody will be here sometime in the 1 o'clock hour, we think, whenever things get done up at Hallis Hall. What's the next 80s band he's going to reference without knowing it because he's not nearly that hip? Which is it? We got Culture Club, level 42. So what's next? All right, you work on that. Speaking of Hallis Hall and Mark Grody, this tweet came during 7-on-7. Caleb Williams threw back-to-back picks. Adrian Colbert or Colbert. Are we allowed to pronounce it like the talk show host, Colbert? Do we know what it is?
I couldn't tell you.
And Reddy Stewart. Not Rod Stewart. Reddy, R-E-D-D-Y.
Maybe
Stewart,
that's the 80s person.
S-E-W-A-R-D. Colbert picked off Tyson Bagent yesterday. Wow. So either he's really good or Bears quarterbacks suck.
Yeah, he's a bust from what I hear.
And then, oh boy, here it comes. Here's part of that great culture. Rough start for the Bears offense in 11-11. This is from a Grody tweet. You can read it at Grody Sports. He wants you to go to at Grody Sports. Rough start for the Bears offense in 11-11 as they had back-to-back false starts. Then T.J. Edwards came on a blitz. Caleb Williams got rid of it to Gerald Everett for a first down, followed by a nice sideline pass to Romo Odunze. So Caleb Williams rallies in these things. He rallies in practices. Like yesterday in the first padded practice, it was, he's really looking lousy. The Bears offense is a bunch of false starts. They don't even know his own cadence. They don't know his quarterback's voice. And then he throws a TD pass to Tyler Scott. But the whole culture thing, The more, and he spent so much time, interim coach Matt Eberflus, talking about team's culture, what a great culture it is, how great the culture is. Culture, culture, culture. Do you know how insecure he must be about the Bears culture if he talks about the Bears culture as much as he talks about the Bears culture and what a great culture they have? This is as embarrassing and uncomfortable as when Ted Phillips and George McCaskey, and they all talked about collaboration. Ryan Pace, Matt Nagy, they're going to collaborate. Yeah, collaboration. That's collaboration. That's the penicillin for what ails us. So it seems pretty obvious to me, and this is going back some weeks, that culture is going to be on Hard Knocks a ton.
Our culture is awesome.
Watch that while you watch Hard Knocks. See what the gimmies are. And we're going to help you with the gimmies. I mean, I don't know that Matt Eberflus's culture will be on as much as Kevin Warren and his sanctimonious bluster, but culture will be there a lot. Saying the word culture, I proposed before, ought to be the free spot on the Bernstein and Holmes Hard Knocks bingo card. There's still, I heard the other day Lawrence was demanding Dan do his homework. Bernstein has to do his homework. Get the thing done. A couple of weeks ago, when this came up, when culture is like the free spot, and we're going, and I'd mentioned it on the air, and we were going back and forth on the idea of a what would be on the Hard Knocks bingo card. So a texter to Saturday Suckage, 312-644-6767, an 802 texter to that number, Rosie, Harry Potter with a leg? Yeah. Tori's magic. Get it? See? I don't do two shows. That's it. So a texter to Saturday Suckage said HBO will definitely show some young Bears players, didn't matter offense, defense, going out for Chicago-style deep dish pizza, right?
That's a guarantee.
So I sent it along to Bernstein for his consideration on the Hard Knocks bingo card that he has been charged with, he's demanded with at Lawrence's, the end of Lawrence's business finger. And he texted back, God, I hope not. I suggested that Chicago-style pizza would be fighting with Kevin Warren getting up at 4:30 and being sanctimonious, blusterful then. And that would be fighting for culture as the free spot. And Bernstein said, if young guys are going to be out at 2 a.m., and I'm in wholehearted agreement with this, if they're going to be out at 2 a.m., they should be at Wiener's Circle. They should be at 2 a.m. at Wiener's Circle, young bunch of young Bears players out then, and Poochie gives them what for. Now, that would be great on Hard Knocks. Poochie on Hard Knocks from Wiener's Circle, that's a spinoff waiting to happen, bleeper, 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 bleeper. I love that whole idea. I don't know what will be on Bernstein Holmes' bingo card, but Dan better get it done because Lawrence didn't sound like he was going to tolerate any late assignments on this one.
Well, if they don't do it, we're going to scoop in and take that.
No, we're not. We're not. Oh, it's theirs. We're just going to hang Bernsey out to dry. That's what. And everybody will love it. Okay. That'll be it.
We have some submissions for the 80s band from the Texas. Oh. The Texas are going great. We have the 847. We have Twisted Sister. We have Wham. We have Men at Work, and we have Tears for Fears.
Wham is a play. Wham is a block in football.
Oh, so then it's Wham.
Yeah, Wham. But we need interim coach Matt Eberflus to say it. Twisted Sister. Okay, I don't know. And then what were the other ones?
We had Men at Work. So you know the safety dance?
Sure. Safety dance. Yeah.
Kind of like Wham, though.
Wham. It's a block. All right. Yeah. Wake me up before you go, interim coach Matt Eberflus. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more Bears football. Habarkish is next. Saturday Suck. Chicago Sports Radio 670 Score.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.